Lance Medow, Paul Dottino with you here. What we want to do now is we want to give out some end-of-the-season awards. As you look back at all of the accomplishments, whether it be plays, whether it be individual players, I think it's nice to certainly reflect at this point of the year. So, Paul, we put together a number of different categories. Let's run through them, and then obviously we'll both chime in terms of who we think is worthy of the award. Let's start with the most valuable player on offense in the 2016 season, and certainly a number of candidates that you could bring to the forefront. I'll let you start, and whether or not I agree, I'll give you confirmation, or else maybe I'll go into a different direction. So who stood out to you on offense in 2016?
Well, it would be impossible not to talk about Odell Beckham Jr. as the MVP because he is a true game changer. I understand that there were a couple of throws every once in a while that you wish he had had, and because he raised the bar so high, you expect him to catch everything. The guy caught over 100 passes this year. And I think what happens is you sometimes forget how many times he was targeted and then how many he caught, and you just think sometimes when you reflect on disappointments of the ones that he dropped. It should not take away from the fact that he had a phenomenal season. And, you know, career high, finally broke the 100 catch mark.
Yeah, first to do that since Steve Smith, who had 107, which is the franchise mark. He also became the fifth player in NFL history to have at least 10 receptions for touchdowns plus 1,000 receiving yards in a single season for the first three campaigns. So that is pretty impressive when you look across the board. And let's also not forget, you know, game-winning touchdowns against the Baltimore Ravens and the Dallas Cowboys the second time around. He doesn't make those plays. Who knows how those games turn out?
Sure.
As far as the MVP on defense is concerned, I'll start here, Paul. The guy that I'm going to go with is Damon Snacks Harrison, because I think the entire defensive line fed off of what he brought to the forefront in terms of his ability to stop the run. The Giants dramatically turned things around in terms of their run defense. They were 24th against the run in 2015. They finished tied for third this season. And also, what I think was a pleasant surprise was the fact that Damon Snacks Harrison actually set a career high in sacks this season with 2.5. Now, nobody necessarily was thinking he was going to get about 10, but he actually was able to bring about some pressure up the gut and help collapse the pocket to get to the quarterback. So that, to me, was an added bonus, but he was the anchor, and everybody else, to me, fed off of his play this season.
To me, there are co-defensive MVPs because I think Landon Collins has to be given an award here, and I just can't leave him off. So, you know, you look at Collins. I'm looking at the number now, and I was unaware that the final number actually came to 125 for his tackles, which meant he was two tackles behind Cyprian from Jacksonville as the number two tackler in the National Football League in terms of defensive backs. Can't say enough about what Landon Collins did. Develop ball skills. You know, we saw the consecutive game streak of interceptions when he had five games in a row with picks. We saw him improve against the run as if that was possible because he was pretty good last year. We saw his awareness on the field improve dramatically. We saw him basically take on the role of a leader back there as the safety of that secondary. And I see no reason why he won't even get better next year, to be perfectly honest with you. And he was already first-team All-Pro. I mean, I can't say enough about him. And, you know, in retrospect now, did the Giants do the right thing when they traded up to get that second-round pick so that they could snag Landon Collins last year? Oh, I think so.
And given all the injuries, also provided stability at that position, too. So that's why he certainly proved very valuable. Landon Collins is going to be a selection for another award coming up. That's why I saved him, but I don't think you go wrong in naming him MVP. On offense, most improved player on offense. Now, this is a difficult one when you look at the landscape. They had some injuries on offense, but somebody that perhaps made a jump from last season to 2016.
Well, to me, this one is really easy also because Bobby Hart started 12 games this year on that offensive line. And you know what? He did okay. I mean, he wasn't all pro. He wasn't locked down great. But Bobby Hart was okay. And we only saw flashes of him as a rookie at the very end of the season. Recall when he got thrown into the lineup
there opportunity
because of injuries. And it was like, all right, this guy's a seventh-round pick out of Florida State. He's a big guy, played on a great program. Maybe he's got something. There's some flashes there, but who knows? Well, this year he started 12 games, And he was okay. He's proven he belongs in the National Football League. There's no question about it. Now, whether or not you think he should be a starter for 16, you could argue that if you want to. If you can find somebody who's significantly better, there's nothing wrong, though, with Bobby Hart being your backup, because if he's your backup, that's pretty good.
Well, it's similar to Landon Collins. The experience that he's gained in about a year and a half, because like you said, he was thrown into the fire a little late season as a rookie, is only going to help him moving forward because of the reps and the experience going up against defensive ends and so forth. So I think you got to take that into consideration. I'm with you. He, to me, is my choice for most improved on offense. Considering some of the injuries they suffered on the offensive line, the fact that he was able to remain durable at least until the end of the year when he dealt with the forearm injury and certainly gained some valuable reps, I think that's key. And it'll be very important this offseason to see if he can now take an additional step depending on who they bring in the offseason for further competition. Most improved on defense, and that's who I was saving for Landon Collins, given the jump that he made from 2015 to 2016.
A worthy pick.
Worthy, indeed. I mean, who else jumps ahead of you? I know you're going to be able to make a selection, but I mean, it's remarkable the strides that he made, and he'd be the first one to tell you that his rookie year was very, very up and down, but he started all 16 games, and this is why I emphasize this, just like when I was talking about Bobby Hart, the experience he got on the field as a rookie, learning the scheme, seeing what the scheme called for him to do, made him that much more prepared to make this lunge in 2016. And his ability to come down at the line of scrimmage and stop the run, make open field tackles was extremely impressive, but also some of the improvements he made down the field in terms of coverage, which was something that he had to obviously go through as a rookie, I thought was extremely important. And the numbers speak for themselves. The interceptions, the sacks, the pass deflections, and as you mentioned, Paul, making first team All-Pro. Hard to argue against Landon Collins not being the most improved player on defense.
See, for me, I will argue that because I'm going to go Jonathan Casillas.
This
is a guy who was voted co-captain, became truly one of the keynote leaders in that locker room, and for the first time in his eight-year career, he was a full-time starter and played on all three downs. And who would have thunk that? Because early in his career, he was simply a special teams player, and then a backup and a reserve, and then he was kind of worked in, you know, into sub-packages when he bounced around to different teams, had been on Super Bowl teams with the Saints, of course, and the Patriots, and had gotten, you know, rings with those clubs, comes to the Giants, and it's like, okay, he's going to be a great special teams player and a great sub-package player, and that's really all anybody thought he was going to be. And then this year, for the first time as a full-time starter, 96 tackles, second on the team to Collins, knocked down eight passes in terms of pass coverage, and a vocal presence in that locker room and on the field. You can't say much more than when the guy gets voted co-captain.
Help fill the void in the absence of John Beeson and Antro Roll in previous seasons. So that is something that I think gets overlooked. Lance Medow, Paul Dottino with you here. We're going over some of the end-of-the-season awards as we reflect on the 2016 campaign. Most impressive rookie from the 2016 class. There's a few that certainly come to the forefront. I'm going to go with Sterling Shepard. I think the opportunity that was presented for him in the early stages of the season was, hey, he could be part of a very dangerous trio with Victor Cruz and Odell Beckham. And if you look at his efficiency on third down, especially in the first four or five games of the season, through the roof, he finished with eight receiving touchdowns, which was second to Michael Thomas of the Saints amongst all rookie, no matter what the position was, for receiving scores. So I think when you take that into consideration, he had an opportunity to become a starter, to contribute immediately. I think he took full advantage of that and was, for the most part, consistent throughout the year.
Not only second among rookie wide receivers in touchdowns, but second among rookie wide receivers in catches and also in yardage receiving. Very hard to go off of him, although the late surge by Paul Perkins would make you hesitate. Perhaps even Andrew Adams, who, as an undrafted rookie free agent, wound up being a starting safety on this team. You know, you could certainly throw him into the conversation, but, yeah, I'm going to find it hard-pressed to move off of Sterling Shepard, too.
Most underrated player on the roster.
Oh, I'm going to save mine. You go ahead with yours.
You want to save yours?
I'm saving mine.
You're going to put me on the spot here.
I'm saving mine.
Wow. Here's one that I'm going to throw out, and he's a veteran, but I think what he was called upon to do proved extremely valuable. And I know he was inactive for a few games. I'm going to go with Leon Hall. because Leon Hall, moving him to safety, moving him to corner, the role he played, the versatility he played, enabled the Giants, when they dealt with some injuries, to feel, you know what, we could throw this guy into the mix, and he's going to provide us some stability. And when I think of underrated, I'm not looking for a guy whose numbers are jumping off the page necessarily. I'm looking for a guy that serves a role, is reliable, and they brought him in right before the start of training camp, even later in training camp, I should say, after he parted ways with the Cincinnati Bengals, and the Giants got good use out of him, even though he was inactive for a stretch. So, to me, Leon Hall is one of the most underrated players on this roster this year.
That's not a bad call. I'm going to go with Brad Wing. Even though he was a two-time NFC Special Teams Player of the Week, you know, he didn't get support for the Pro Bowl, did not get support for the All-NFL All-Pro team. And if you look at the overall stats amongst punters, he's in the middle of the pack with his stat line as you look at it across the board. But you and I know from watching this guy each and every Sunday, he was incredibly valuable to the Giants. And in fact, Coach Ben McAdoo, and as far as saying several times during the year, he was a weapon. Was the word that was used. You don't hear that often when talking about punters. So I'm going to say, even though he got some props and accolades, I'm going to say he was the most underrated.
No, that's fair. Listen, field position is so key. And what was the one thing we talked about in the Giants-Packers game? Field position. So if you can have a guy that can give you that advantage, it's hard to necessarily overlook that. All right, we got two more here. Player with the most potential. I'm going to go back to the rookie class, Paul, and the guy that I didn't give most impressive rookie to, I'm going to give the player with the most potential, and I think that's Paul Perkins. You can't overlook the surge that he had late in the season. He could eventually become the workhorse on this team. You look at his ability to run off the edge, the versatility that he can provide. He's improved in pass protection. I think he could even get more out of him as a receiver. I think the most potential by far is out of Paul Perkins on this roster.
This is a little difficult for me because I agree with you about Paul Perkins. I think he's going to be a really good player for several years to come. But remember, running backs are not workhorses these days. They're usually part of a pairing. And I think Paul Perkins is going to be a very important part, but the kind of guy who took advantage of Shane Vereen's absence. And I think that next year, when the Giants kind of reconfigure their running game, Paul Perkins is going to be a 15-carry a game kind of guy. He's not going to be a 25 carry a game kind of guy.
But 15 in this day and age is not bad.
It's not bad, and he's going to be a big, big part of what the Giants do. Please don't let me be misinterpreted here. I'm going to go back to Landon Collins because I think Landon Collins has the potential to be a multiple-time Pro Bowl player. I think defensively, safeties can often play 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years in this league. And some of the best guys are perennial All-Pros 5, 6, 7 years down the road. I'm going to take the word potential, and I'm not going to necessarily say a guy who's down here because of his inexperience and comes up. What I'm going to say is here's a guy here who has reached the heights of his game and is going to continue to do so for several years to come. So in that regard, I'm going to say that Collins has the potential to be a 6-time All-Pro. How about that?
It's all about how you interpret the category. But that's fair. Listen, it's hard to argue, like I said, based on the fact that we've given Landon Collins multiple awards here on this segment, he doesn't have potential.
For that same type of definition, you could easily go Beckham.
Of course, too, in terms of he not hitting his ceiling yet and could still perhaps even go higher and higher
could
based
be a
on how
many,
his numbers
many year all pro.
All right, final category, best play of the season. Now, there are certainly a number of them on defense. Odell Beckham has plenty of them as well. I know there's one in particular on defense that has stood out to you.
Well, it's got to be Collins' pick six in
He's
London
a big
against
theme
the Rams.
On this, you can tell.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I can't say enough about that play, and ESPN has their top 10 plays of the year as determined by Sports Science, and they ran that show, I guess it was a week or so ago. I just happened to turn it on and catch it when I think they were at play 8, which was Landon Collins. And as they replayed that interception, and they put the computer on him, and they measured out all his moves and his force and his speed and everything else, the thing that really hit me was that they said he ran over 97.5 yards to score that touchdown
covered
between all the zigzagging that he did. And then on top of that, He was hit with such force inside the 5-yard line by one of the Rams that he bounced into another Rams defender, who then made the tackle on him, and because of the inertia, he wound up moving forward because of the combination tackle and fell into the end zone and scored the touchdown. It was funny because had the initial hit not come with the force and at the angle that it had come with, he probably would have come down inside the 3 and not have scored. But because he was absolutely run into like a Mack truck, the force of that hit in combination with the assisted tackle helped him score. I thought that in itself was kind of fascinating when they broke it down on Sports Science.
It was like a pinball machine.
Exactly.
It turns out he ricocheted into the end zone. I'm going to agree with you. While I could certainly make a case for Odell Beckham against the Ravens and Odell Beckham against the Cowboys, the reason why I can't get past the Landon Collins play, and I know this is not necessarily part of the criteria, but Paul, to me it was the turning point of the season.
Without question.
I mean, how could you get past that play?
You can't. You can't.
When then you look at what the defense did from that point on, the fact that they wanted to get above 500 mm-hmm. entering the bye following the trip to London, and it was a game where the offense struggled and needed the defense to do something just to energize the team. And then he also had an interception later in the game, which set up Rashad Jennings' go-ahead score. So, once again, there's certainly others that you can make a case for, but Landon Collins, the significance of the play, the athleticism, the science aspects of it, to me, it's a home run for best play of the season.
Going into the bye week, too,
yeah.
which is also a critical stage of your year.
Lance Medel, Paul DeTito with you here on Giants.com. Those are our end of the season awards.